McLean County has a new top prosecutor, Don Knapp. The county board appointed Knapp after his predecessor, Jason Chambers, became a judge. The next time voters will choose a state's attorney here will be 2020. Unlike members of Congress or the General Assembly, a prosecutor's day-to-day job isn't scored for the public to see. That makes it difficult to measure if they're doing a good job. A new study underway from the League of Women Voters of McLean County is exploring how prosecutors make decisions in the McLean County criminal justice system. Attorney Stacy Tutt is working on that study. She says the League's support for decreasing incarceration rates for low-risk first-time offenders and providing alternatives to jail, it all helps shape the study.
Well, it's a big study, and it's still ongoing. Trying to gather all of this information has been pretty extensive because we conducted surveys of the state's attorney's office, the judiciary, public defender's office, criminal defense attorneys, and then we've also been trying to conduct qualitative interviews of all of those entities, as well as criminal defendants and victims themselves. And so we're still gathering a lot of the data, but what the talk on Thursday is going to be about is really looking at what factors go into the prosecutorial decision-making process and how that may then be influenced by the state's attorney in order to help voters be able to better choose a state's attorney and understand the implications of the policy setting by the state's attorney's office.
Yeah, so what are some of those factors that go into decision-making in a state's attorney's office?
Well, there are a number of things that we looked at in trying to determine the overall success of the office. So we actually asked the state's attorneys, the assistant state's attorneys, I should say, what they really thought were indicators of overall success of the state's attorney. And not surprising, you know, one of the biggest factors is showing lower crime rates as a way to show success. They also felt consistency in case outcomes was a huge factor in determining whether or not the office had been successful. In fact, they rated this at the same rate as they did of lowering the crime rates. But the number one factor they found in the overall success of the office, or how they defined it, was victim satisfaction with the handling of the cases.
Because we've seen several local cases out of McLean County where someone's conviction is, you know, later thrown out, but it, you know, typically takes years for that to happen. I'm thinking of like the Alan Beeman murder case, for example. The state's attorney at that time was Charles Reinhard, but he's out of office for 6 years before Alan Beeman is exonerated. So the lag time of appeals kind of makes it hard for the public to evaluate success of a prosecutor in some way, doesn't it?
So I absolutely believe the long appeal time does make it difficult for the public to assess the state's attorney. I also think there's a lot that goes into that position with the policy setting of offices and the way that then the assistant state's attorneys handle the cases. And so because of that, we did want to create a study and look at these factors to be able to help voters ask good questions of their state's attorney at the time that they're going to elect them, because that lag time of getting an evaluation of them is so many years down the line.
What would be good questions to ask prospective state's attorney's candidates before you go to the polling place?
You know, looking at and assessing how they determine the resources that are provided to the state's attorney's office, the guidance and training that they provide then to their assistant state's attorneys as they go through that, but also then just the tenor and feel of the office as to what is valued most, whether it's high conviction rates or fair treatment of defendants. All of these can be factors that can be looked at and policies that can be set by the local state's attorney. Another factor that we looked at is willingness to look at diversion programs and successful referral to those programs. And these are things that I think that people can ask the state's attorney when they're going to vote to figure out what they value most in the criminal justice system, what they are going to prioritize in their charging and pursuit of justice.
Well, Stacy, any closing thoughts, any other key points you think are going to be coming up during Thursday's presentation here in Bloomington?
Yeah, one of the big things that we're really looking at too in this situation is what's happening in the time period between being charged with a crime and potentially being convicted. So looking at that pre-trial phase and what is going on at that point in time. Because we have found, and this is a national finding, that whenever somebody is incarcerated for 3 days or more at the pre-trial stage, it has a significant effect on the defendant the outcome in their case, as well as the community as a whole. The more that individuals are incarcerated through the pretrial phases, the more difficult it is for them to actually help in defending in their case. But it also has significant economic impact on not only the individual, but the community. Individuals who are incarcerated for 3 days or more are more likely to lose their job, their housing, and have a disruption in their families because of that incarceration. A lot of this study focused on how decisions were made throughout the entire process in order, again, to help influence that decision-making and know what to look for in our next state's attorney.
Are you referring there to bond levels and even charging decisions? What kind of factors would lead to pretrial incarceration?
Yeah, so those are all factors. The charging is definitely part of that process. Whether or not they're charged with a misdemeanor versus a felony are going to be a factor in their pretrial assessment and what their bond levels are set at. But the thing is that also in that pretrial assessment, what gets factored in is previous convictions. Well, some of those previous convictions may have come about because of plea negotiations in the past, and then what individuals pled to at that point in time, those all end up getting factored into this pretrial assessment. That's kind of why we're looking at that and recognizing that, especially for the state's attorney's office, that's really the significance of their discretion, right? Of what to charge, of what pleas to offer. That is where that discretion lies, and we're looking at the influences of those decisions, both in the short term and the long term.
That's Stacy Tutt, now a visiting professor of law at the University of California Irvine School of Law. She worked on a new study from the League of Women Voters of McLean County on how prosecutorial decisions are made. The League presented preliminary findings from that study today in Bloomington. This is Sound Ideas.